I want to do a series the next few weeks out of the Old Testament. I'm going to talk about the first three kings of Israel. If you're familiar with the history, Israel was a united kingdom until their fourth king, and then they split and became the northern and southern tribes. I'm not going into that, but the first three kings, Israel was a united nation, and I want to do a series on the first three kings of Israel, and I'll tell you why. When I was a kid, I started attending this church in 1969. Of course, it wasn't here, but one of the elders I respected very much told me the Old Testament was good for studying history, but it really didn't pertain to today. Well, I got saved in 1984, and as I began to read the Word for myself, I knew he meant well, but he was wrong. And I think a lot of the faulty theology that's come up in the church in the last several centuries is because people don't understand the Old Testament. Now, we're not in the law. You'll never hear me preach about that. But the Apostle Paul said the Old Testament was written down for our example. We were to learn from it. And I've said this all my Christian life, God never changes. And I have talked to people over the years that say, well, God was that way under the first covenant, but he's not that way now. And to me, there's no scriptural basis for that. That is doctrine and theology of men. And in order to support their theology, they have to stay out of the Old Testament or make up a reason why they think it's changed. I want to talk about three men, all three called by God, and what happened to these men. The first one this morning is going to be Saul. He was the first king of Israel. Just because the text's short, don't think you're going to get out of here real quick. The text is Saul chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Of course, I'm only kidding. You'll get out of here when I'm done. There was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Ibel, son of Zeor, son of Bechoroth, son of Aphiah, a Benjamite, a man of wealth. And he had a son whose name was Saul, a handsome young man. There was not a man among the people of Israel more handsome than he. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people. Father, I thank you for all that have come out to hear your word this morning. I thank you for the service we've had, for the Sunday school that we have, for the study of the word, Lord, that we want to set this day aside to study your word and to hear from you. And I ask, Lord, that you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to receive your word, the things that you would have us learn from this, that we would understand this is not history, it pertains to us today also. I praise you that you're a God that never changes. There's no confusion with you, Lord. And if people will read your word honestly, they will understand that. I ask your blessing on those who cannot be here. Be with those who have recently lost loved ones, those who are ill. I ask for your healing touch in their lives. Enable me to bring this message in the way that you want it to be brought. And I give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. When Israel settled into Canaan after they came out of Egypt, they followed the Lord, according to the scriptures, until Joshua and those elders died. And after those men died, they began to do what they wanted to do. They put aside God's law. They wanted to be like the other nations, and they started adopting and worshiping the gods of the Canaanites around them, and actually tried to incorporate or mix that in with their worship of Yahweh. And it didn't bode well. God had promised them in the law that if they forsook his law, he said, I'm going to bring enemies against you. Well, the nations around them that they didn't dispossess, by God's foreknowledge, began to attack and began to harass them. And it said Israel, they would get oppressed, and they'd cry out to God, and it said God's compassion would rise up, and he'd raise up a judge to deliver them And as long as that judge lived, they followed the Lord. When the judge died, they went back and reverted into what they were doing. And this went on for quite some time. There was one woman judge named Deborah. God did raise up a woman to judge him. And she was a prophetess and a judge and highly respected. And one of the Israeli commanders, she told him, "The Lord's going to give you victory." And he said, "I'm not going if you don't." She said, "Well, do you want people to say that a woman won?" He said, "I don't care. I am not going into this battle unless you go with me." So she was very well respected. But over their history, over this course of time, God would raise a judge up. That judge would die. They'd turn back to what they were doing. Another nation would oppress them. God would raise another judge. Well, Samuel, I want to mention him today. He was the last judge of Israel. If you know the story, his mother hadn't had children. She prayed for him and promised God, "If you'll give me a son, I'll give him back to you." And God heard her, and she had a son. When she weaned him, she took him to the temple, gave him to Eli, the high priest. And every year she'd go visit, she'd make him clothes. But she dedicated him to God's service. And Samuel became a prophet. He served in the priestly service. He was a man of great integrity. God began to move on him when he was a child. And he was a godly man, and he was a prophet. And the Bible says God didn't let any of his words fall to the ground. So he was highly respected and feared. And at this time, the nation of Israel were being oppressed by the Philistines. And they were really putting the hurt on them. And the people came to Samuel. And there was another army named the Ammonites. Were on the outskirts. And they told Samuel, "We want a king." They said, "We want to be like all the other nations." Well, that grieved Samuel. And he went and prayed. And the Lord said, "You do what they asked, because it's me they've rejected, not you." You see, before this, Israel was what was called a theocracy. God was their king. He ministered to them through the priests and the prophets. He was the king. And they said, "We're tired of this. We want a man to be king." Well, God said, "All right, you listen to them." But he said, "I want you to warn them what a king's going to be like." The first thing should have been the best red flag. He said, "The king's going to tax you." I don't know about you, but that would have been a killer for me. You know, the Jews were paying a tithe to the temple in the law, and God said he's going to charge you an additional tithe. He said he will take the best of your farmlands. He will take the best of your children. They will be his soldiers, his bakers, his farmers. And he said, "He will reach a point that you are going to cry out to me because you're king." And he said, "I'm not going to listen." So God said, "I'm telling you right up front, you want a king, I'll let you have a king, but here's what you got to look forward to." And they were stubborn. And they said, they told Samuel, "No, we want a king." God said, "Okay." Now, this is a weird place probably to you to start. Saul was the most handsome man in Israel. He was head and shoulders taller. I've read they estimate he was well over 6 foot tall. He might have been 6'6", 6'7". And you may think, well, why did you start there? I think God put that in there on purpose. Well, I know he did. He picked the best looking, biggest guy that he could find. Because people would look at him and say, "Now that's a king. You know, he stands out from the crowd." Saul's dad had lost some donkeys, and Saul went looking for him with a servant, and they couldn't find him. And Samuel was what they called a seer. And his servant said, "There's a seer lives over here. We'll go ask him where the donkeys are." And Saul said, "We don't have any money." He said, "I got a half a shekel of silver." Saul said, "Good." Well, at this same time, God told Samuel, "There's going to be a guy show up here tomorrow, and that's the one." I just love the way God sets things up. And Saul gets there, and God said, that's him. So Samuel comes up, and he said, we're having a feast today up on the high place. They would offer sacrifices to God and sit down and eat. It's like a picnic like we do today, but it was like a fellowship thing where they would worship and eat and praise God. And Samuel said, I've reserved this place for you. And instead, when he invited Saul up on the hill, he talked to the cook and said, that food I gave you yesterday, I told you to set apart, bring it out. It's just amazing to me how God had all this set up. Saul sets and eats. Samuel said, I want you to spend the night, and in the morning I'm going to tell you what I want you to hear. He said, by the way, your dad's donkeys are already found. Don't worry about it. So Saul spends the night. In the morning, Samuel gets him up, and he starts to walk him out of town. He says, I want your servant to go ahead. I want to talk to you, man. He said, you've been chosen to be prince over Israel. Saul starts out with the right attitude. He said, my tribe, Benjamin, is one of the smallest tribes. My dad's clan is one of the smallest clans. And Paul, in essence, said, I don't want to be king. I don't have the experience to be king. Who am I to be king? Samuel said, well, God's chosen you. And he took a flask of oil and poured it over Saul's head and kissed him. And he said, you're the one. Now, that doesn't mean much to us today, but in those days, only the priests were anointed with oil. They had an oil that they made. Only the priest could be anointed because that anointing made them holy, set apart for God's service. The Hebrews have a word for it you and I are familiar with. The word's Mashiach. The English translation is Messiah. So priests were called Mashiach. And when they began to anoint the kings, they were called Mashiach. Kind of keep that in mind. Anyway, Samuel pours the oil on him and he kisses him. He said, you're the prince. And Saul's still not sure what's going on. And he said, when he turns around to walk away, God gives him a different heart. I hadn't been saved very long when I got to that part of the Old Testament. And I'm not boasting. I'm just saying for me, this was a hallelujah moment because I was wondering what's going on with me. I'm changing. You know, I don't think like I used to. I don't talk the way I used to. And I knew something had happened, but I didn't know theology. I barely knew the Bible. You know, I was reading it. I was going to a church. And when I read that, boy, I had a praise God moment. I said, oh, that's what's going on. You see, God said, I choose Saul. And then God changed Saul. He gave him a different heart. Samuel said, Saul, I know you're struggling with this. And he said, I'll tell you what. There's going to be three things happen when you leave. And this is going to confirm that God has really called you, that this anointing is for real. He said, you're going to meet two men on the way home. And they're going to say, your donkeys have been found and your dad's worried about you. He said, when you go a little further, you're going to meet three men going to Bethel. That's where the tent of God was pitched at that time. That's where they worshiped. That's where Solomon built a temple. And he said, one will have three goats, one will have three loaves of bread, one will have a jug of wine, skin of wine. I'm sorry, that's my hillbilly slipping out. Skin sounds better than a jug. He had a jug. Good night. And he said, one of the men's going to give you two loaves of bread. You need to accept it. Well, he met the first guy, met the first two guys, went and met the third. And Samuel said, after that, you're going to see a company of prophets, and the Spirit of God's going to come on you, and you're going to prophesy. So Saul takes the bread. He hears that his dad's worried about him. He takes the bread. And it said, when he saw this company of prophets, the Spirit of God rushed upon him. And he began to prophesy. And some of the people that knew Saul said, I didn't know Saul was a prophet. Now, this might be a little long and drawn out to you, but I want to set this up. Saul was chosen by God. Saul was changed by God. Saul was anointed by God. Now, Samuel knew it. Saul wasn't sure about it. And Samuel said, well, these three things will happen. And then you should understand God has called you. Saul goes home, and it said one of his uncles found out he'd been talking to Samuel, and he said, "What'd he tell you?" He told me the donkeys were found, but it said Saul didn't tell his uncle the rest. Well, Samuel said, Saul wasn't still uncomfortable. He didn't want to say, "Well, I'm the king." They probably said, "Are you crazy?" Well, it says a little later, Samuel presents Saul before the Israelites. And he said, "God has chosen a king. You asked for a king, God's given you a king." But he said, "You sinned when you did that. But God has chosen a king." When he went to present Saul, Saul had went and hid himself. He said he was looking around, and the Lord said, "He's hiding in the baggage." And some people went and brought Saul out. Saul didn't want the job. Everything I read about that, I don't know if he was shy or bashful or what, but he didn't want the job. And it said when Samuel brought him up, he was a head and shoulders taller than all the other people, and he was a fine-looking man. And the people shouted, "God save the king." But there were some people that said, "He's not going to rule over us." Well, Saul went back to the farm. He went back to working on the farm. The Ammonites came in and they attacked a city named Jabesh-Gilead. And the elders of the city came out and said, "We want peace terms." He said, "Here they are. I'm going to gouge out every one of you's right eyes. Then I'll make peace with you." I wouldn't like those terms. They didn't like it either. But they felt overwhelmed. They said, "Would you give us 7 days and we'll send some messengers out and see if anybody can come and help us. And if not, then we'll agree to this." And it said they sent these messengers out. Saul was out in a field plowing, and he come in, and the messengers got to where he was. And when they gave the message, it said the people lifted up their voices and wept. They knew it was coming to them. They said, "Now it's started." They're already being oppressed by the Philistines. Now they got this other army in there, and they know what they do to them, they're going to do to us. And it said, Saul asked him, he said, "What's going on?" And when they told him, it said, the Spirit of God came on him. He slaughtered the oxen, cut them into pieces, had the messengers take them all over the territory of Israel. And he said, "God will do this to your oxen if you don't come up here and help me and Samuel fight these guys." Next day, 330,000 men showed up. That's a pretty good way to get the message out. Kind of like the Godfather, but he didn't cut up any fish or anything. But he said, "See this piece of ox? That's going to be yours. You better show up and fight." So they showed up, and Saul divided them into three companies. Now, keep this in mind, this is under God's anointing. God is telling this man what he wants him to do. God is guiding this man. And they attack the Ammonites, and when they're done with them, it said there weren't any two of them left together. Great victory. And Saul and this army go back to where they started, and the people were rejoicing and shouting, and they said, "Where's those guys that didn't want him to rule? Bring them out here. We want them killed. We're going to execute them." And Saul stopped him and he said, "There's not going to be any executions here because God has granted great salvation to Israel." Now, what's my point? Next week we're going to talk some about Saul because I can't get it all in one message. I could if you want to stay here till 3 or 4 this afternoon, but I don't think anybody really wants to do that. My point is, Saul was chosen by God, was he not? Yes, he was. Saul didn't ask for the job. They didn't take applications when they said, "We want a king." God said, "All right, I've already picked one." Saul chose him. God anointed him. And God began to direct him and to lead him. And Saul began as a humble man, and he began as an obedient man. And as long as he was doing that, he was blessed. Now, I'm going to cut this off here today. Because if I try to get into the rest of it, we'll be here for a while. Keep that in mind this week. I invite you to go home this week and read 1 Samuel. Read 1 and 2 Samuel if you like. Saul was called by God. Saul was anointed by God. Saul was being led by God. God gave Saul a great victory because of his compassion and his mercy. Samuel told the Israelites, "You've sinned," and asking for a king. But he said, if this king obeys God and you obey God, everything will be fine. He said, if you or your king refuse to obey the Lord, you'll both be swept away. Saul started out on the right foot. He had the right attitude. He had the right heart. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He was willing to obey God and do what he tells him to. Next week, I want to look at the other side. What happened to Saul, where he ended up, and why it happened. We're going to talk about Saul, David, and Solomon. We'll be a couple weeks in this. And there is a method to my madness. You may sit and listen to this and say, what are you trying to get at? And by the time we're finished, I hope you'll say, okay, I see what you're getting at. Is God a merciful God? Is he a righteous God? Is he a just God? Yeah. We don't like to talk about his justice. Tell us about the love. Tell us about the mercy. And I've said this for years, you can't have mercy without judgment, or it wouldn't be mercy. Too many times we try to present God one-sided to people. I believe in talking about the love. God warned the Jews. They hadn't been listening. He'd judge them. He'd bring them out. He'd judge them. He'd bring them out. They wanted a king. He said, I'm going to give you a king, but if this king doesn't obey me, you and he both are going to be swept away. What happens to Saul is sad, but it happens to a lot of people. My wife is reading the Old Testament now, and I get up in the morning, and she's usually up before I am. How can these people see all these miracles God did and turn around and forget him? I said, how can people do it today? How can people start out following Jesus Christ and then turn their backs on him when he's done so much in their lives? I've seen it happen. I've seen people start out following Christ, and they're enthusiastic. You know, they love coming to church. They love studying the Word. And then by and by, something happens. And they get sidetracked, and they get offended. And I've seen people go the complete opposite direction. Would you stand with me this morning? I hope you can be here for this series. I hope by the time as I say that I'm done, maybe we'll all come to an understanding, you know, of why did God leave us the Old Testament? It's not just a book of history. It's a testimony who God is, his heart, how he feels about things, and God does not change his mind.